Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's the 13th of January 2020. You're listening to show number 83 and I hope that you're all keeping very well and you've all had a great weekend. On today's show, we are going to be talking about the dangers of crash dieting. Now, on last week's show, we spoke about fad dieting, and crash dieting kind of falls under the same umbrella, but it's slightly different to fad dieting. So we'll talk about crash dieting in a moment. And then towards the end of the show, we'll be talking about vitamin K. Now, we've covered A, B, C, D, E already on the show. And today we're going to cover K, what it is, what it does, how you can find it in your food, and how it can help you. And in the middle, we have our special guest interview of this morning. We have Claire Turner, and Claire is an EFT practitioner. And if you don't know what EFT is, you'd be really interested to find out more and also how it can help you. So good morning, Claire. It's great to have you on the show.
Good morning, Neil. Love you. Right.
And I'm looking forward to finding out more about what you do and how you can help people, probably in about 20 minutes or so.
Fantastic.
So a quick disclaimer before we kick the show off. The purpose of the show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters that we cover and to help educate and inform you in ways that you could improve your own health. But this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist first. All the content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and often my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. Okay, it's January. It's that time of year. People who have indulged over Christmas or maybe over the last 12 months have put on a pound or two or maybe half a stone or maybe a stone or maybe even more than that. And it's a time of year that we set these New Year's resolutions that we're going to go down the gym or we're going to cut out alcohol or we're going to go veggie or we're going to go on a diet or we're going to lose 2 stone, whatever it might be. The problem is that there's loads of companies out there that will capitalise on what is sometimes I could class as probably people's desperation to make a change. Now, I really encourage people to make change. And if you're unhealthy, whatever it is that you need to do to become healthy, then I'm behind you 100%. You know, you really got to get on with it. If that's smoking or drinking or what you're eating or exercise or your general health, whatever it is, if you realise you've got to make a change, then get out there and make that change. But don't fall victim to companies who, in my opinion, can be quite predatory in getting you on silly meal plans, silly diets that give quick, fast results but are unsustainable and will lead you back to where you are now in 12 months' time. So as I mentioned on last week's show, we covered fad dieting and today we are going to cover crash dieting. So a crash diet is essentially a very restrictive meal plan that essentially is really unsustainable for the long term. So it's often about restricting calories. So going down as low as 500 calories a day in some cases, or maybe it's about doing juice cleanses, or maybe it's just eating particular foods for a period of time, or maybe it's cutting out big food groups like carbohydrates. The length of time differs from diet to diet, but generally they will always come with an end date. They don't deal with the real deep issues around losing weight. And we will focus this piece on about losing weight because lots of people's New Year's resolution is to lose weight, particularly sort of January, February, March. So these diets are not sustainable and they will generally lead you back to where you are now in 12 months' time, and you'll be doing the same thing again. And I covered it on last week's show. If you want different results, you've got to try different techniques. If you're doing the same thing that you did last year, guess what? It didn't work, and you're doing it again, and you'll do it next year as well. So think about what you're doing. If you want a different result, if you want the results to be sustainable, then you've got to change what you do. So here's some reasons why you need to be really cautious about crash dieting. You'll see it on Facebook and other social media channels. People will say, oh, I've lost 10 pounds in a week. Aren't I great? Do you know what? Losing that much weight in that space of time is incredibly dangerous to the body. What happens is with some of these crash diets, that initial weight loss, that huge weight loss, is only temporary. And it might result in dehydration, because crash diets do some really weird things to your body, including the way that your body retains water. So your body will generally hold about 4 grams of water for every 1 gram of carbohydrate consumed. So depending on what you eat and your body mass, you could be carrying anywhere up to about 20 pounds of water in your body. Now, crash diets limit foods almost significantly. So with reduced sources of energy, reduced carbohydrates, in some cases, some diets recommend cutting carbs almost out completely, which is actually quite dangerous, in my opinion. With these reduced sources of energy from foods, your body's ability to retain water becomes compromised. And as a result, your body starts to drop its water weight. And like I say, it's not uncommon to hear people say, you know, I've lost half a stone in a week. But you know what? You just can't do that safely and sustainably. You can't lose half a stone of body fat without significantly damaging your body. So you'll genuinely lose water weight. And the problem is there is that also leads to dehydration, which affects your metabolism in the long term. And when you come off of the diet, whatever that crash diet might be, the water weight will return. So you end up back where you are anyway, perhaps even with more weight. So be really careful with that. If you do one of these crash diets and you lose weight really quickly, it almost certainly won't be body fat. And let's face it, it's the body fat we want to lose, isn't it? We don't want to lose muscle mass. We don't want to lose our bone structure. We don't want to lose hydration. We want to lose body fat. And crash diets generally don't deal with the body fat issue. Crash dieting also slows down your metabolism. When you start doing low-calorie diets over a sustained period of time, you slow your metabolism down, because your body will not continue to burn energy at the same rate it was before you did the diet. Because if it carries on burning energy at that same rate, guess what? You'll run out of energy quickly and you'll die. And it's a self-preservation mechanism of the human body, where if you continually deprive yourself of calories and adequate nutrition, your body will slow down its metabolism to match. And then it will start to burn muscle stores as well for fuel. And then you just end up in a really bad situation, because once you start to burn muscle, then your metabolism slows down even more. And you can see how it can be quite a vicious circle. And remember, it's not just about calories. Calories are only part of the equation. It's about the nutrients you get from those calories. If you're doing really low calorie diets, okay, you're not getting the energy that you need. That's one part. But you're also not getting the nutrients that you need. Then that's really important as well. And as time progresses, and that depleted energy level, that can lead to things like fatigue as well. And if you don't recognize this, if you feel extremely fatigued doing a crash diet, you need to increase your calories, okay? Because in really serious cases, when the metabolism slows down so much to preserve life, essentially, the body can begin to shut down vital metabolic and biological processes. And obviously, once that happens, it becomes extremely dangerous. Now, as many of you know, one of my experts' fields is type 2 diabetes. And when you crash diet, you decrease insulin sensitivity, okay? When your insulin sensitivity decreases, you are on a road, potentially, to type 2 diabetes, okay? So you might think it's great that you're losing weight, but actually, if your body becomes desensitized to insulin and your blood sugars start to rise sustainably, you might find yourself with more serious health issues than just carrying a few pounds of excess body fat. Crash dieting also results in hormonal balances. Now, there are two really important hormones in the body called ghrelin and leptin. And these two hormones, working in conjunction with each other, are responsible for managing your hunger. And when you do crash dieting, it sends these two hormones out of balance, essentially. And that can lead to really powerful food cravings. It can lead you to binging on foods that you wouldn't ordinarily have. And that can become extremely difficult for you to deal with. And this extreme type of dieting strategy is really self-defeating because we're cutting out the energy that we need and the nutrients that we need as human beings to function properly. It makes you feel rubbish. It can affect your energy levels. It can make you feel fatigued. It can make you want to sleep all the time. And what's the point of doing that? If you change your attitude to food, you eat whole natural foods, and you see weight loss as a much more long-term strategy, not just a quick fix, then you're more likely to continue that strategy for the rest of your life rather than just doing a three-month or six-month plan. And the problem is as well is when you crash diet and that imbalance of ghrelin and leptin happens, the hunger pangs can return much more powerful when you stop dieting, and you can end up in a worse situation than you were before you started. And also crash dieting, because you're not getting the energy that you need and you're not getting the nutrients that you need and you're messing about with your hormones as well, it can make you feel really grumpy. It can affect your ability to concentrate. It can affect your ability to focus, and it can affect your overall quality of life. And who wants that? You know, food should be enjoyed. If you're carrying too much weight and you need to lose some weight, yeah, you know, eat less, move more. I mean, there is much more to it than that, but that's the basics of it. And start eating proper food. You know, don't do silly crash dieting. Don't cut your calories down to 500 calories a day. Cut out the junk food, cut out the sugars, cut out the processed foods, and eat proper foods. And one of the other things about crash dieting as well, because it is affecting your body in so many ways, not just about losing weight, but it's obviously this having this massive internal effect on your body, it can actually really affect your immune system as well. And who wants a weakened immune system? It's not just about colds and coughs. It actually can be much more serious than that. And as your ability to resist disease weakens, you can leave yourself exposed to some pretty unpleasant health disorders and diseases. And some of these can be potentially life-threatening. And again, when you cut out food groups, say, you cut out carbohydrates, you lose a lot of the nutrients that you would get from carbohydrate-based foods. Now, carbohydrates-based, we're not talking things like chocolate and sweets. We're talking fruits and vegetables. There's lots of things in those fruits and vegetables that will keep you healthy and will support your immune system. When you cut out big food groups, that leaves some massive holes in your nutrition and can lead to illness as well. Crash dieting also masks weight loss progress with water retention. Now, because crash dieting can be really hard on the body, it increases the level of cortisol in the body. And the cortisol is another hormone, and it's actually the stress hormone. I'm sure some of you have heard of cortisol. Now, when cortisol levels rise, the body will try to then retain water. Now, when the body retains water, that can mask potential fat loss, and it can appear like you're not losing weight. Now, people are doing crash diets that don't see any results after that initial weight loss can either give up and leave themselves in the worst situation, or they can push even harder. Excuse me. And if they're pushing even harder, that can compromise their health even more, which puts more stress on the body, which then leads to raised levels of cortisol. And again, we go around in a circle. So it's really not worth it. So what can you do? Well, I touched on it already. You need to change your lifestyle to include better food choices. Look at what you're eating and the amount that you're eating. So get your protein from vegetables, from fish-based sources, from perhaps lean white meats if you're not a vegetarian. Nuts, seeds, berries, fruits. You know, the things that we were eating as human beings 10,000 years ago are the things that we are designed to run on. If it comes in a packet or a tin, or it's processed, it's been through a factory, it probably isn't that good for you, and certainly nowhere near as healthy as the natural food that it came from. So if you need any help, if you really need to lose some weight, Focus on improving your health first, and the weight will generally take care of itself. But if you need any advice, talk to me, talk to other health specialists. They'll be able to point you in the right direction without putting you on these silly fad diets that are so prevalent, particularly at this time of year, and also the crash diets that can be incredibly damaging to your body. And also, my final point here is ask yourself, whatever diet you're on, can you see yourself still doing the majority of it in 5 years' time? Because if you can't, it probably is a crash diet or a fad diet. If you change your lifestyle, if you change the way you look at food, if you eat proper food, moderate your portions, exercise more, if you can see yourself doing that in 5 years' time, then brilliant. That's a sustainable change in your lifestyle. And equally, if one of your children were to adopt the diet that you're on, or perhaps one of your parents were to adopt the diet that you're on, and you were worried for them, and you were worried for their health, then I would challenge you to ask yourself whether you should be on that diet as well. So, after the break, we are going to go on to our guest interview with Claire. But to take us there, we have a great song from Labyrinth.
You tell all the boys no, makes you feel good, yeah. I know you're out of my league, but that won't scare me away, oh no. You've carried on so long, you couldn't stop if you tried it. You've built your wall so high that no one could climb it. But I'm gonna try, would you let me see beneath your beautiful, would you let me see beneath your perfect? Take it off now, girl, take it off now, girl. I wanna see inside, would you let me see beneath your beautiful tonight.
That was Labyrinth and Beneath Your Beautiful. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show on Monday, 13th of January, 2020. This is show number 83, and I'm Neil De Silva. I hope you're keeping well and you found the information in the show so far useful. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. So go to Twitter, go to at Health Radio Show, and you can follow the show's Twitter feed. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show, and you can like the show's Facebook page. And you'll be able to listen again to this show and all previous shows that I've done on the show's iTunes podcast. So go to iTunes, type in the Health Matters Radio Show in the search bar, and you can listen to all the previous shows there. And equally on my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, go to the media page of my website, and all the previous shows are there too. Okay, so on to our guest interview of the morning. As I mentioned already, today we have Claire Turner, and Claire is an EFT practitioner. Now, I'm sure some of you out there don't know what EFT is, but when you find out what it is and what it does, it may be a life changer for you. So good morning, Claire. Thank you for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you on. I'm really interested in EFT. So before we talk more about EFT and what it is and what it does and how you can help people, perhaps you can give us a bit of background, excuse me, about how what you were doing before you were doing what you're doing now, and how your journey took you to what you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Guildford. I was an only child, and I grew up in a pub. That kind of explains a few things. And I worked pretty much like a lot of people. I was in the corporate world, mm-hmm. very much 9 to 5, didn't really think there was anything else out there.
Yep.
And then about 6 years ago, I met my other half, Dr. Danny Scarhill mm-hmm. of Crawley Chiropractic Centre, mm-hmm. shameless plug. And we got together, and he opened my eyes up to this whole new kind of holistic lifestyle and way of living. And when I met him, I was in a very stressful corporate job.
Okay.
I wasn't particularly happy, but I think a lot of people, I didn't believe I could do much else. I didn't believe in my own ability. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of self-doubt, and I had stayed in this job way longer than I should have done. I mean, I was there for 15 years. I was, wow. Yeah, it was a long time.
Can I ask what you were doing?
I was working in a testing and certification company, and not as an engineer. I started off arranging factory inspections mm-hmm. and just general sort of reception admin and that sort of thing. And because I'd been there so long, I just kind of kept moving my way up.
Yeah.
Into a position that then ultimately really didn't
suit me. So lots of responsibility?
Yes,
and
lots of responsibility.
And equally, lots of pressure, yeah, lots of stress.
Yeah, very much, you know, it was all about how much money you were making and all that sort of thing. So, and I don't really, that's not really me. I don't really enjoy that, the sort of the bean counting side of it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't happy. I was very stressed. And Danny could see how this was affecting me. And not just sort of emotionally, it was affecting me physically, it was affecting me mentally, emotionally, all across the board. But when you are living in that kind of non-stop chronic stress, you don't really notice it for yourself because you're already immersed in it. Mm-hmm. And it took Danny turning around and saying, you are really, really stressed.
Yeah.
You need to get it sorted out. And there's this great technique that I think you should try called EFT.
So did you have the typical sort of stress symptoms, but they were becoming so common that it was almost it became normal?
I mean, I was ill almost all the time.
Right.
I almost had this permanent cold going on. I was very sort of down emotionally. I wouldn't go so far as to say I was depressed, mm-hmm. but I was suffering with it, but I hadn't noticed that I was suffering with it. And so Danny said, try this out. There's a really cool technique called EFT. There's a few videos. And he showed me a video on YouTube by a chap called Brad Yates, who is an American EFT practitioner, and who actually I met late last year. We went out for dinner with him out in California with his wife. Okay. Lovely, lovely couple. Really got on really well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was thrilling, meeting the chap who had sort of got me into EFT.
Yeah,
that
I
was
bet.
Really cool.
Yeah.
And so I watched this video about what EFT was, and I have to say I was totally dubious, because if I'm completely honest, EFT looks a little bit woo-woo.
I have to say, with your corporate background and you describing the job that you did, you sound very much kind of sort of science-based, factual-based, it-can-be-proven kind of person.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I'm not an engineer. I'm not of that background. Yeah. I wasn't doing the testing and stuff. I was involved more in the admin side of it and the project management side of it. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was so unhappy there is because I'm not really of that mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
I do actually quite like the woo-woo stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I know what you mean. Some people kind of, if it looks a bit woo-woo and sounds a bit woo-woo, immediately the barriers go up. And actually, that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, and I think I think this is a great time for this sort of stuff because very slowly people are beginning to realise that what was previously considered woo-woo, is now actually has some benefit. It is useful.
Much more mainstream.
Yeah, a lot of it has growing scientific research behind it, as with EFT. And I think people are becoming a lot more aware of things like the mind and body connection.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's just making things a lot more open, which is great. But I was, at that time, fairly skeptical.
Okay.
But I thought, you know, I'll give it a go. I'll try most things
once.
What's
the worst that can happen?
Exactly. And so I tried it and I was just absolutely blown away with how effective it was. And not just how effective, but how fast it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it would get to the point where I would be at work and then in my lunch hour, I would go out and I'd sit in the car and I'd do 15, 20, 30 minutes of tapping, which is a nickname for EFT.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just go back into work a different person. It is incredibly effective. And there's some great scientific research that shows just how effective it is at reducing the levels of cortisol in your blood, in your system.
Mm.
And as you said previously, cortisol is one of the stress hormones. You decrease the cortisol and you're in a much better place.
Yeah.
And also it allowed me to function better at work as well, because if your emotions are high, then your intelligence is low.
Yeah.
You can't have both high at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So by just by using this tool to calm myself down and to feel in a more serene place, I was able to function a lot better intellectually.
So just to get the timeline right, at this particular moment in time, you were still in your day job.
Yes.
In your corporate job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were using the EFT techniques to
And I was really
to cope.
I was really just using it for stress.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't really considered that it could be used for anything else. Okay. Really. I knew intellectually it could, but I just hadn't got so far as to do that.
So before we go further with EFT, perhaps you could explain to listeners what it stands for, what the acronym means.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a bit of a mouthful, which is why we shorten it. It stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques.
Okay.
And it's often called tapping for the very simple reason it involves tapping on your face and torso with your fingers, which is where the woo-woo bit comes in.
Interesting. And we are, and in a few moments, we are going to go on to do an on-air demo, aren't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
That would be really good. So with regards to EFT itself, in what ways can EFT help individuals? Obviously, we've covered with your own personal experience, you know, the high levels of stress and bringing those back down.
Yeah.
And the importance of bringing down cortisol levels. You know, I can't stress how important that is. But what other areas could EFT help people with?
It can help people in pretty much all areas of your life. I very much take the viewpoint that if you have an issue, give EFT a go.
Okay.
It can help with weight loss. It's very effective for PTSD, stress and anxiety. It's great for helping you to achieve your personal goals and goal setting. And the thing with EFT is that the best way I can describe it is it's like emotional acupuncture, but without the needles.
Okay.
So instead of popping a needle in an acupressure point, you're stimulating that point by tapping on it with your fingers. Now, when you do that, you are connecting your body's energy system with your brain's limbic system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the limbic system is this area of your brain. It's like this complex network of nerves and neural pathways. And it's where we have our basic emotions. It's where we have our drives. And it's where we have our long-term memory.
Okay.
So you can sort of think of it as like a computer filing system.
Mm-hmm.
And every bad thing that has happened to you, be that very tiny and small and inconsequential almost, right up to the big traumas, every bad thing that has happened to you is stored as a file in that filing system.
Mm.
And as part of that file, you have an image or a movie, which is your memory of the event that happened. You have a story, which is the belief you form out of that event. And you also there's also a program that runs. Now, the program that runs is your body's physiological response. And by that, I mean how your body reacts. So for an example of that would be if, you know, you were at school many, many years ago and you had to get up and give a presentation in front of the entire class.
Yep.
For whatever reason, you know, you fluffed your words or you got something wrong and the class laughed at you. You now have a memory of standing up in front of all your classmates and they're laughing at you.
Mm.
And what are you feeling? You're likely to be feeling embarrassed. You're likely to be feeling shame. Maybe you're feeling angry. What's your body doing? Well, your body is very likely going into a bit of a sweat.
Mm.
Your face is probably flushing. Maybe you're trembling.
Mm.
So this is all stored in that file. Now, fast forward to when you're an adult and you're at work, say, and there's this great promotion coming up that you really want to go for. And then you find out that as part of the promotion, you have to give a presentation. Now, as soon as that is mentioned, whether you consciously remember standing up in front of the class or not, mm-hmm. your file in your storage system in your brain
yep.
is thrown up. And your body reacts the same way as if you were actually going through it. It's like when you recall a memory. Everyone's got a memory where they've done something that they've been really, really embarrassed about. And when they remember it, they get a hot face.
Yeah.
Your body is reacting.
Those feelings, those emotions come back.
Everything comes back up. So as soon as you find out you've got to do this presentation at work, you know, your body reacts, your face flushes, you get a bit of a sweat on, you start to feel that panic, that anxiety, because from that event that has happened, you have formed the belief that you are not good at public speaking. Now, one of two things is then going to happen. Either you're going to bottle completely and you're not going to go for that promotion that you've always wanted with the massive pay rise or whatever it happens to be. Or you're going to plow on, you're going to brave it, but because you are so, so nervous and your body is reacting beyond your control, you mess it up. And then that just goes on to reinforce your belief that you cannot do public speaking.
Yep.
Now, EFT is kind of like, if you consider that program that runs to be like a computer virus, EFT is kind of like a scan that you can run that locates the source of the virus and uninstalls it. So you are able to operate, you're able to let go of the negative emotions and the limiting beliefs that impact your behaviors about how you react about stuff. So things like food cravings, binge eating, anxiety, stress, going, you know, ambition and going for something, it all helps with that. And that is emotional freedom when you get back control of your emotions and your body, allowing you to go for stuff that you really want to go for.
Powerful. And but so many people don't realize how much their past affects their current.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's not addressed, will also affect their future as well.
Every single person that I've worked with, the root of the issue is always way back in your childhood, particularly sort of up the first 7 years, because that's when you are just an absolute sponge and you absorb.
Yeah.
You know, all the beliefs of the people around you. It's when you first start school. It's when you become aware of yourself.
Yeah.
And also, most importantly, you become aware of what other people think of you.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're, you know, if you see a toddler throwing a tantrum in the middle of a supermarket, the toddler is not concerned about what other people are thinking about them. The parent is just dying of shame, generally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the toddler couldn't give a monkey's.
Yeah.
But then you go to school and you learn that, you know, other people judge you.
Yeah.
And you become afraid of that as a result, potentially.
And then that impacts your day-to-day life, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's really interesting as well that EFT can help in so many areas. Like I said, you obviously used it for stress management.
Yeah.
But things like addictions and phobias and all the other sort of things that affect our day-to-day life for the worse.
Yeah.
Obviously tapping in and...
no pun intended.
Yeah, absolutely. but really sort of addressing the root causes rather than just, you know, trying to paper over the paper over the cracks. So it's a really good book. I don't know if you read it, by Dr. Steve Peters, called The Chimp Paradox.
Oh, okay.
If you've never heard of it, I highly recommend it. It's one of my favourite books. But it talks about those different parts of the brain. It talks about the limbic system. It talks about the computer. It talks about the chimp and the way those three parts of the brain interact with each other. Fascinating. Yeah. I've read it a couple of times, actually. Not read it for a couple of years, so I might pick it up again and read it. But really, really good book. Basic understanding about how the mind works without being too technical or detailed, it is actually a really good book.
Yeah, excellent.
So tell me more, before we go on to the demo, tell me a little bit more about how you specifically can help women.
Okay, yeah, this is my big passion. I have been to a lot of all women retreats, both as a participant and running EFT workshops as part of the retreat. Mm-hmm. And something that I have noticed crop up time and time again is this common belief that they are just not good enough in some way. You know, they're not a good enough mum, or they're not a good enough businesswoman or partner or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it's just every single time this comes up. And it's something I can really relate to because A, I am a woman, mm-hmm. And B, I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, I have been that woman who didn't believe in herself. I have been that woman who stayed small because she didn't think she was good enough for various reasons. And it's by discovering EFT, or having EFT introduced to me, I was given this incredible tool that I could use on myself. It is primarily a self-help tool, mm-hmm. That I could use on myself to just cut through all the limiting beliefs that I had and get to where I want to be. And, you know, I now have my own business. I'm on a radio show. I've never done a radio show before. And I have to say, in the car on the drive up, I did an amazing interview. So I hope this is as good. It's just given me a tool to use to create confidence and belief in myself. And yes, it is a self-help tool first and foremost, but, you know, I'm a practitioner. I myself have an EFT practitioner, because often when you are doing it for yourself, your subconscious will generally only let you get so far, because its job is to keep you safe.
It will resist.
Yeah, it will resist. And that will throw up all sorts of reasons why you shouldn't go any further, or why you shouldn't press the issue.
Yeah.
And that comes in the form of this little inner voice that comes up and says, oh, you know, it's too hard, or it's too boring, or I don't have time, or I don't know what to say. I can't ask the right questions. And this is where working with a practitioner really, really helps, because A, you have time allocated for it, mm-hmm. and you have someone else asking you the hard questions that you might not be asking yourself, that will drill back. It's a bit like a detective work that drills back into your past to find out where this belief came from.
Wow. So where do we go from here? Let's do a demo, because I think, and the great thing about it being a self-help tool is that if you understand the techniques, and like you say, there's absolute value in having someone do it for you. Mm-hmm. excuse me, but if it's a self-help tool, you can also use it whenever you need to use it.
Yes.
You don't need other people to be around.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I mean, I'm a shameless public tapper. I will tap anywhere.
Okay.
I'll use it whenever. If I'm anxious about something, if I'm nervous about something, because I'm an EFT practitioner and I have this great tool, it doesn't mean I'm never afraid. I'm constantly frightened about doing stuff. But now I have this fantastic tool that allows me to get over it.
Yeah, it doesn't make you superhuman, does
it?
Oh,
no. I am fairly awesome, Neil, but I'm not that awesome.
Okay, so let's go on to the demo. I have to say at this point, I don't know what to expect, because we haven't rehearsed this bit.
We have not.
But over to you for the next few minutes, and I'll let you do your thing.
Okay. Well, first of all, let's just go through what the points are, so where you are tapping and how you do that. So the first point that we use is the side of the hand, so the sort of fleshy point, and it's called the karate chop point.
Okay.
And basically, because it's where you'd karate kid someone, mm-hmm. so that fleshy part of the hand, and we use that. We tap on that. during something we call the setup, which is the beginning.
Okay.
The setup is basically a statement that we repeat three times whilst we're tapping on that karate chop point, so that side of the hand point. Once you've done the setup, you then move on to what we call a round. Now, a round starts with tapping on your eyebrow point. And the eyebrow point is quite literally where your eyebrow starts.
Okay.
Then you move on.
I'm actually doing this, by the way.
This is not great for radio, but bear with me. Then you move on to side eye, which is the outside edge of your eye, outside corner of your eye,
right,
on the bony eye socket part.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Then you have under eye, which is under your eye, again, on the bony eye socket part. Then you have under nose, which is exactly where it says on the tin. Then you have chin, which is that groove you have between your lower lip and your chin.
Yep.
Then you have collarbone. And the best thing for the collarbone, the easiest thing, is just to make a fist and to tap where you'd find the knot of a tie.
Right, okay.
Then you move on to underarm, so where you'd find a woman's bra strap.
Right.
And then you have top of head. So if you were to draw two lines up from your ears to the top of your head, where they meet, that would be where you tap.
Okay.
Now you can tap either side of your body. You can tap with your right hand or your left hand or with both hands. Mm-hmm. You can tap with one finger, two fingers, three fingers, whatever feels comfortable. There, you would have to be going some to get this wrong.
Okay.
There is really no way to get this wrong. You don't have to worry too much about whether you're in exactly the right spot because the vibrations will carry through as long as you're within the vicinity.
Okay.
Now, when you're tapping, you want to tap hard enough so you can feel it. But you don't want to tap so hard that you're going to end up covered in loads of little bruises because then I get complaints.
Yeah. Don't punch yourself.
Yeah, don't punch yourself. And if you're tapping for anger, just be aware of that because you can, without realizing, tap quite hard.
All stressed.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So those are the actual physical points that you tap. The next thing is, you know, what do you tap on? And I'm going for this demonstration. I'm going to keep it quite broad and quite general. I'm going to go with stress.
Okay.
So I'd like everyone just to, as they're sitting there or standing there, just checking with themselves and give themselves a number between 1 and 10 as to how stressed they're feeling, where 1 is, you know what, I'm completely chillaxed and I'm fine, and 10 is I'm pulling my hair out and someone near me is going to die very shortly. Mm-hmm. And just give yourself a number. And if you can, just jot that number down because this is a really good way of, particularly if you're on your own, monitoring your progress. So, Neil, for example, are you feeling any stress right now?
A moderate amount.
A moderate amount. If you had to give it a number, what would it be?
Probably about a 5.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing to ask yourself is, am I feeling this stress anywhere in my body? Am I feeling it in my stomach? Is it tightness in my chest?
Yep.
Now, for people who are listening who are lucky enough to be completely stress-free, you can ask yourself a different question. Are you feeling any pain in your body? Is there anything else that's happening that is concerning you? Just work with whatever emotion pops up for you. Like I said, I'm going to stick with stress. But just bear in mind that if stress isn't right for you, you can choose something else. So then we start with the actual tapping. And when we tap, we say specific affirmations.
Okay.
Now, those affirmations, you'll notice, are, on the whole, negative. And this is where people get a bit worried because they think they are tapping in negativity.
Okay.
What we're actually doing is we're bringing negativity up so that we can release it. So please don't worry about the fact that it's mainly negative stuff. So let's get going with it. We're going to start off tapping on your karate chop point on the side of your hand. And I'm going to say a phrase, and I would like you to repeat what I say. So Neil has very kindly, without really knowing what he's letting himself in for.
I am the guinea pig.
You are the guinea pig. And Neil has agreed to be my echo. So for your listeners, they would join in with you, Neil. Okay?
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
All right. So even though I'm feeling really, really stressed.
I'm feeling really, really stressed.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I'm feeling really, really stressed.
I'm feeling really, really stressed.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I'm feeling really stressed right now.
I'm feeling really stressed right now.
And I can feel it just there in my body.
And I can feel it just there in my body.
All this stress. I can really, really feel it.
I can really, really feel it.
I'm so stressed.
It's okay.
I deeply and completely accept myself. Excellent. So that is a setup. We're now going to move on to the rounds. So tapping on the eyebrow point.
Mm-hmm.
I am so stressed.
I am so stressed.
Side eye. I am so, so stressed.
I am so, so stressed.
Under eye. I can feel this stress in my body.
I can feel this stress in my body.
Under nose. I am so stressed.
I am so stressed.
Chin. I am so stressed.
I am so stressed.
Collarbone. I can feel all this stress in my body.
I can feel all this stress in my body.
Underarm. I can feel all this stress in my body.
I can feel all this stress in my body.
Top of head. All this stress in my body.
All this stress in my body.
I'll go back to the eyebrow. I can feel all this stress.
I can feel all this stress.
Side eye. All this stress in my body.
All this stress in my body.
Under eye. I am feeling so stressed.
I am feeling so stressed.
Under nose. So, so stressed right now.
So, so stressed right now.
Chin. All this stress in my body.
All this stress in my body.
Collarbone. All this stress in my body.
All this stress in my body.
Underarm. Feeling really stressed.
Feeling really stressed.
Top of head. I am so stressed right now.
I am so stressed right now.
Excellent. Then take a breath. And then just check back in with yourself.
Hmm.
What's that number now?
Lower than 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you had noticed it anywhere in your body, you'd also be asking yourself, do I still feel it in my body? And if you did have it, if you had it in your body, you could work that in to your tapping. It's all this stress in my stomach, that sort of thing. Now, that is just a very, very brief, very, very broad demonstration of tapping. Tapping gets more effective the more specific you can get.
Yep.
So, for instance, I did some tapping last night because I was starting to get, as the evening drew on, I was starting to get a little bit anxious about coming on the radio today. So I did some tapping on feeling anxious about being on the radio and what it was that I was feeling anxious about. Another great thing to do, if you're tapping on something that has happened that has made you stressed, maybe your boss shouted at you at work or something, you need to consider things like, you know, when did it happen? What happened? Who were you with? You know, so really drill down into as specific as you can.
Yeah.
But people often worry with tapping about, you know, once they've got the points, that's not an issue. It's the what to say. Mm. And this becomes a bit of a concern for people. And this is one of the things that can stop people from doing it. Because they're like, oh, well, you know, you're a practitioner. You know what to say. When I work with someone, I use their words. So if you are on your own and you don't know what to say, the best piece of advice I can give is just pretend you're talking to a friend and you're venting. And as you do that, tap through the points.
Yeah.
It's really the words you use aren't actually that important.
So the words don't have to be rehearsed or from a script.
No.
They need to come naturally.
Yeah. And it's the purpose of the words is really just to keep the problem state in the forefront of your mind, which then allows the tapping to diffuse it.
So for those of you that are perhaps listening to this on catch up, and maybe you just listened to the technique but didn't actually do it, I highly encourage you to rewind and go back and try it, because as was touched on earlier in Claire's interview, I'm very much not a woo-woo person, but I'm.
And if you think that's just a very small,
it's the tip of the iceberg,
you know, demo snapshot, and when you start to use that for specific things,
and that was just for looking at stress.
Yeah, obviously, that was just, you know,
there's lots of other areas we can.
Yeah. So one of the things that EFT is massively effective with and is very relevant to what you were talking about earlier is food cravings.
Mm.
You know, there's lots of great research now by a lady called Dr. Petta Stapleton out in Australia. And she's done some fantastic research around EFT and food cravings.
Yeah.
And she conducted a study where they had loads of people in and they did like, you know, an hour a week, an hour a day for a week or so on tapping around food cravings. And then they left it a year. They rang the people up who had participated and said, you know, how are you getting on with what you were coming in for? And the people, not only have they got over the food craving, they couldn't remember what the food craving was in the first place. You know, they were saying things like, you know I came to you with something, but I can't remember for the life of me what we were tapping on. And be like, well, we'll be tapping on chocolate. Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. I haven't really had any chocolate at all.
Yeah. Wow.
It's just, it's very much about taking back control.
the power of the mind.
Absolutely. And so, the body.
And the body. Yeah. So when you run your workshops, when you perhaps see a client on a one-to-one basis and you do the EFT for the first time, and it works.
That's a great moment.
It must be amazing to see that change in them.
That is my most favourite bit in the world, particularly with workshops, because I love working with groups. Yeah. I think the energy is always very high. I use accelerated learning techniques to keep the energy high. And I think in a group, you get a level of support that you might not necessarily feel when you're just doing it by yourself, because you've got always other people with you who are going through the same stuff that you're going through. And a lot of my workshops, you know, I do a lot of free workshops. I do a lot of free webinars. And you get people coming in and they have no idea what EFT is. Mm. Not a clue. Really don't know what they let themselves in for. They look a bit how you looked.
All they know is they need some help.
Yeah. And they look a bit, when you start, they look a bit how you looked when we did the demo.
Yeah.
And excuse me.
Yeah.
And...
slightly, you start, slightly perplexed.
Like what? What is this witchcraft? And then you started to, because my workshops are very interactive, and we start to drill into specific things. I mean, things like beliefs and memories of events that happened. And you see that kind of incredulous look in their eye as they start to realize that this is working. Mm. And it's like, what? And they can't quite believe it. And then you drill into it more. And there's just this change that comes over them. And you see people have these kind of like aha moments. Like, this is where it all stems from. And then, so you're helping them find where it started. And then you're giving them the tool to take the emotional charge out of it.
Yeah.
And that moment is just, that's just the best for me. I love that. Really do.
So what are your plans for the coming year? Obviously, we're very early on in 2020 now, but how does the year pan out for you?
Yeah, well, I am running a few weight loss workshops and webinars in January and February because of the whole New Year's resolution that's going on. Mm-hmm. But my big focus is my main passion, which I think I mentioned before, which is all about helping women overcome this belief that they're not good enough in some way.
Yeah.
So it's all about, I'm very much going to be focusing on self-belief and self-confidence. Because that's something I can really, really relate to.
And channeling that inner voice to actually work for you.
Yeah, you know,
and not against you.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Okay, so in your view, why do you think people should come to you and talk about EFT?
Well, I mean, the main thing is with regards to the self-confidence and self-belief, I've been there. I've walked that walk.
Yeah.
I know what you're going through. Yep. I know how you feel. I know how hard it is. And it puts me in an ideal position. And because I've used it on myself to get to where I am today, it puts me in a really good position to help you.
Yeah.
Now, yes, there are lots of EFT practitioners out there. There are lots, it's becoming more and more popular. There are lots of free videos to choose from. But I would say that if you are listening and you are suffering from, you know, self-doubt and a lack of confidence, reach out to me. Yeah, my website has some great pages on it with lots of free downloads. Mm-hmm. There's a page that shows when I do run events and what's going on. You can even contact me and we can do a free breakthrough consultation, which is where we just learn a bit more about EFT and how it can help you.
What's your contact information, Claire?
Okay, well, my website is www.claireturnereft.co.uk and it's everything in Claire. It's C-L-A-I-R-E.
Okay.
And like I said, there's some great information and links to research and all sorts on the website. So do check it out. I also have a Facebook page, which is Claire Turner-EFT. Mm-hmm. And my email is, staying on the same theme, ClaireTurnerEFT@outlook.com.
Super. And I'll put your contact details on the post promotion as well. So people can make contact with you via social media.
Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you for the demo and thank you for coming on the show today.
Pleasure. It's a pleasure, Neil.
Really,
thank you for having me.
We'll cover vitamin K on next week's show because it is time to wrap up. But if you'd like to come on the show as Claire has done today and talk about what you do and how you can help people, if your business is in the health and wellbeing umbrella, then please give me a shout. After the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. But all that's left for me to do is to bid you a good week ahead. Have a happy week. Have a healthy week. And I will catch you again next Monday.
eyes are blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. Take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for.